The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning. Good yawning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 23rd of January, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And this morning, we are talking what's in the news, what's in the newspapers. There's lots of stories to touch on. I got lots of stories that I've been taking note of this week and last week's stories in today's paper. I want to start a quick housekeeping note to my HHT family. Remember, we're having our January meeting on the 30th? Thursday the 30th, the last Thursday in the month at St. John's College. Meeting to start at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Oh boy, there's so much to talk about in the paper today. I want to talk about the news. I want to throw this out there. Maybe some people may think that I'm being disrespectful. I don't think so, but maybe it's not my place to say that at this point in the conversation. But when I opened up The Guardian today, and I saw this headline in the religion section, priest, Jesus gave his life as ransom for many. Whenever I'm driving, I'm always thinking about, you know, things like spatial awareness and empathy and whether people are really practicing empathy on the road. And why would you, right? Like, what motivates us to drive carefully and with caution, right? Caution doesn't mean 5 miles an hour. You know, it doesn't mean pausing whenever a car approaches an intersection because you're concerned they may run the stop sign. But caution is operating spatial awareness and critical thinking and empathy in an attempt to avoid accidents, those that can be avoided. And this question came to me when I saw the headline in the religion section. Have you ever desired to be loved by God? Not just to be a recipient of God's love, but to be loved by God, right? Because like a recipient of God's love feels like there's a crowd and God is on the podium and he just pouring love out, just throwing it out over the crowd, and you're lucky enough to be there and catch some of it, versus like a desire to live up to God's word. But even more than that, to be loved by God. And if that is that the thing drives people to act in a way, to moderate their behavior, to manifest this idea or the scripture, right? The idea presented in scripture that you should love people as, right, like as if they are God's people. These are God's things, and that's why you must be careful with them, because they belong to God, right? And I just wondered, it came to me when I looked at the religion section in today's Nassau Guardian. Priest, Jesus gave his life as ransom for many. So I guess the question is, what motivates you? What is it that motivates you to be a Christian? To be a good Christian? If you feel compelled to answer that question amidst our conversation this morning, the numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. The text line is always powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96. 422-4796. I want to start the show by reading from this article in today's Guardian, the Nassau Guardian. Policeman admits to soliciting sex from schoolgirl. Again, we're reading directly from the article. A 38-year-old policeman yesterday admitted to soliciting sex from a schoolgirl. Corporal Gregory Taylor pleaded guilty to attempted procuration when he appeared before Senior Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson for the start of his trial. The crime allegedly took place between August 2023 and January. According to the prosecution, we're going to turn to page 7. According to the prosecution, the 13-year-old initiated contact with Taylor after getting his number from her mother's phone. Taylor gave the mother his number after she made a complaint concerning a relative. Taylor and the minor's conversations later turned sexual, with him asking her to perform sex acts. He apologized to the girl and her mother. According to Taylor, the offense was out of character, as he had worked with young people for years without anything inappropriate happening. Taylor was allowed to remain on bail pending sentencing. He's represented by Ian Cargill, Cordell Frazier, the Deputy Director of Publications, and Kareen McVean appeared. I know this matter, I think, is still before the court, so we have to be very careful how we talk about it. These rules have a purpose, and although there is much to discuss within the article itself, that which is now in the public domain, I want to be very careful about how I approach it. I just want to say that I'm uncomfortable about the whole thing. And I think that all right-thinking people should be uncomfortable about the whole thing, right? Like the whole matter, the idea that a police officer is before the courts for matters such as this, right? According to Taylor, the offense was out of character, as he had worked with young people for years without anything inappropriate happening. Within that silence, see, sometimes you gotta try and measure your words. I mean, it's so, oh boy. Anyway, I am going to refer to the Guardian legal team. That is, I gotta ask the more seasoned journalist what it is we can discuss about this, because again, there is much to be discussed. Okay. I want to move on. There are more stories to get to in today's papers. Let's read the same article from the Tribune. Police officer admits trying to have a sexual relationship with teen girl. A police corporal was remanded into custody yesterday after he admitted to trying to pursue a sexual relationship with a 13-year-old girl last year. Senior Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson presided as Gregory Taylor Jr., 37, appeared for trial on a charge of attempted procuration. However, before evidence was heard, Taylor reversed his earlier position and pleaded guilty to the charge. The defendant attempted to procure a 13-year-old girl online in order to have unlawful sexual intercourse with her sometime between August 2023 and January 5th, 2024. A text exchange between the pair reportedly showed the defendant's attempt to make sexual advances at the minor. Ian Cargill, the defendant's attorney, said that his client expressed remorse and asked for leniency. Taylor apologized to both the complainant and her mother, saying that his actions were the result of poor judgment on his part. Taylor will be remanded to the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services until his sentencing hearing on January 31st. All right, there we go. So lots of stories to talk about. Here's one. Bell government reviewing Rent Control Act to address rental affordability. Housing Minister Keith Bell said the government, in response to skyrocketing rental prices and growing concerns over affordability for Bahamian families. Quote, we have to look at the Rent Control Act to determine what provisions we need to amend and how they're going to adjust it, close quotes, he said in the House of Assembly yesterday. I would have preferred if he said, we have been looking at the Rent Control Act for a considerable amount of time, even while in opposition, because this is one of the pillars of our blueprint for change. Yeah, no, that's not what it said, though. He said in the House of Assembly yesterday, acknowledging that inflation and rising costs for construction, maintenance, and insurance have driven rents to unprecedented levels. The Rent Control Act governs how much rent may be charged for certain dwelling houses whose value does not exceed a specific or specified threshold. Two-bedroom apartments that once rented for $500 now range between $1,500 and $2,000, according to Mr. Bell. While addressing rental affordability, Mr. Bell also responded to the IMF report highlighting the housing crisis in the Bahamas, full stop. Surely this whole statement is in response to the IMF report highlighting the housing crisis in the Bahamas. Because before this report, the government would refuse to acknowledge that there's a housing crisis. The IMF highlighted stagnant wages and surging real estate prices, with rents rising by 14% between 2012 and 2022, while average wages increased by only 2%, disproportionately affecting low-income households. Mr. Bell described the report as a, quote, reality check, close quotes, rather than its efforts. I paused because I could not believe the words that just came out of my mouth. Mr. Bell described the report as a, quote, reality check, close quotes, rather than a critique of the government's efforts. Quote, no country can ever fully meet the housing demands of its population, particularly for the working and lower classes, close quotes, Mr. Bell said. I have never, ever in my life seen someone so eloquently say they're ready to go home. I've never seen someone so eloquently say that I am unable to fulfill the inherent obligations of the position that I volunteered for. Not because you fail to create an initiative, a strategy, or even an environment in which citizens can house themselves sustainably. But once again, rising from the mouth of a politician is the claim that the task is impossible. Again, quote, no country can ever fully meet the housing demands of its population, particularly for the working and lower classes, close quotes, Mr. Bell said. Quote, our aim is to do the best we can with the resources we have, and we're taking bold steps to address the challenge, close quotes. I imagine an assessment of the expenditure of state resources would indicate that far more energy has been spent ensuring that hotels could put heads in beds than Bahamians. As a part of these efforts, Mr. Bell highlighted the launch of a rent-to-own initiative to transfer ownership. Full stop once again. Perhaps you are ready to go home. Because the one thing that all Bahamians can agree on is that there is a vast majority of Bahamians who cannot afford to maintain homes. You create a mechanism or a scheme so they could access a mortgage to a home. They can't afford the mortgage. They can't afford to maintain the home. They can't afford to maintain the property that the home is on. They can't afford to pay the mortgage with the occupancy restrictions given. But you guys insist that people want a rent-to-own initiative. No, we need affordable housing for people who live in a country that treats land as so valuable that it's too valuable to be left in the hands of its citizens. I continue to read from the article. The program allows renters to make payments over 2 years, with those payments contributing toward a down payment on the home. If people need a rent-to-own initiative just for the down payment, those people cannot afford to maintain a mortgage or to maintain the property value for the home they're still paying for. Quote, for example, there's a lady I met a few months ago who has 5 children, now on minimum wage, he said. It is almost an impossibility for her to qualify for a home. She will be a recipient of one of the rent-to-own homes that we are constructing right now. He said the program has already placed participants in homes in Abaco and will soon expand to New Providence. Mr. Bell also called financial discipline, citing consumer debt as a key barrier to home ownership. No, sir. We're going to follow the model that y'all set for us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to spend money like we make it. We're going to refuse to account for it. We're going to refuse to look into the faces of those who we are accountable to and tell them what we did with the money. We're going to have grand parties and don't tell anybody how much it cost. That's what we're going to do, exactly what y'all are doing. I continue from the article, quote, I believe that a significant part of the population is heavily indebted with consumer debt. Because let me tell you something. You know how expensive a pallet of ramen noodles is? You know how many of my family members I had to put in an ASU just so we could buy a pallet of ramen noodles? That again. As we end the article, quote, I believe that a significant part of the population is heavily indebted with consumer debt, he said, linking the issue to rising housing costs and limited financial flexibility for families. Mr. Bell, what portion of the population is heavily indebted with consumer debt? Is it the population that has sufficient funds to donate or contribute to collective national development efforts, but instead spend their money on personal disposable experiences? Anyway, that was a troubling article for many, many reasons, but critical interrogation of what was said would suggest that it is just rhetoric and very little work has actually taken place. And that which has taken place may need to be redone because it appears as if the program is rooted in a false premise. That the problem is that people can't afford payments. The people can't afford to rent and do maintenance on the rental property that they occupy in. The people have cars and can't do appropriate and standard maintenance on their cars. Let's keep working at it until we... Let's go to the text line. Aaron, what's the latest update on the, you would say, grown woman, the 20-year-old Wafabako who documented sexual assault of a minor? Please, I have not seen any follow-up stories in the media. That doesn't mean they're not there. I just have not seen them, the Tribune or the Guardian. I got a text here that says, pedophiles, hang them high. Texter, we have a wild attitude about children, young people in bodily autonomy. We have created the environment where adults think it's okay to engage in intimacy with children. We have created an environment where people cannot correctly identify stop signs and then stop at them. See, because age of consent is a stop sign. But we're showing that we don't care about stop signs anymore. Good morning, Aaron. Can you help me with the piece in the Tribune about the fight for deputy in the leader in the PLP? Can anyone get the name of the person that paid for that ad? Well, I bet you ain't nobody gonna ever reveal who paid. It's a paid political ad. I bet you it's a paid politician that paid for that ad to be in the paper. The texter says, great show as usual. Some people still have outdoor toilets but have an iPhone 15. Texter, okay. See, that's a vibe. It's a real vibe, right? The people who have outdoor toilets are living on rental properties and are not ultimately responsible for the infrastructure on said properties. Right? Putting in an indoor toilet and the requisite infrastructure is probably more, costs more than a renter who can only afford to rent in a place that has outdoor toilets. Right? They can't afford to do that. Plus, they would still have to get permission from, and then there would have to be environmental studies conducted to determine if they can put sewer systems in the area. Right? There's a whole bunch of things that's happening. Great show as usual. You're using this we thing loosely. You mean they like little girls. Let me tell you something, Texter. Let me wait till I finish, because it's the same text, you know. Let's wait till we finish with the other one about outdoor toilets and iPhone 15s, right? See, because I'm thinking about when Perry Christie was, I got a historian in studio with me. Historian, what was the name of the constituency that Perry Christie, was it Centerville the last time he held it?
Centerville.
All right, see, so when Perry Christie was MP in Centerville, this conversation arose. I think I was on Connected with Les. Raised the question, who are the people that own the rental properties in that constituency? What's their relationship? What's their proximity to politics? Like, are they politically exposed people, right? What is their proximity to the parties, in particular the PLP? And to what extent could Perry Christie compel those landowners to undergo a massive infrastructure project in that area for the purpose of providing suitable and sustainable housing for residents? Now, when we look at the area that's the Centerville constituency, and then you acknowledge its proximity, what we call the downtown area, you possibly could speculate, like I possibly did, that the same stenching, and I pun intended, the same stenching that the owners of the properties on Bay Street engaged in is the same stenching that the owners of those properties engaged in with a promise or a potential massive gentrification project on the horizon. Yeah? And so, text, I think it's unfair to say some people still have outdoor toilets but have an iPhone 15. Now, one part I agree with you with is maybe they should buy a bubbler. But you don't want me to tell you about the bubbler I just bought just the other day from our premier bubbler provider. And one thing it's doing is it bubbling. It bubbling straight to the grave. And I only had the phone for 3-4 months. 4 months if I'm lucky. Yeah? So let's apply a little more empathy and critical thinking and critical reasoning. Now, to the next text. Great show as usual. You're using this we thing loosely. You mean they like little girls. See? You see that? Yeah, they like little girls, but you like them. See, that's the problem. You don't like little girls. They like little girls, but you like them enough to not shame them out of existence. When I say out of existence, I mean into invisibility. Like where you go become a hermit on one of our uninhabited islands because you feel the weight of shame having to look into the eyes of a whole country of people and say, yeah, I know I'm an adult and I know they was a child, but I had sex with them anyway. See, we may not be engaging in the acts, but we still friends with the people who are. And what does that suggest? What does that suggest? Here's a text. Aaron, you mean grown women like little boys? I don't hear that often, but I see it. We like to talk about grown men, but are absolutely fine with women taking a little boy's innocence. Nobody has texted her. Man, why are you doing that? There's space for us to talk about sensible things. Because all I saw was an outpouring of outrage from the broader community. All you heard on my show was outrage. See, but you're not getting the outrage. You don't understand where the outrage lies. See, my outrage lies with the people who have responsibility for creating an environment where young people in particular could navigate their communities and their country safely without the fear of predation, in particular sexual predation, right? But when people say, hey, don't you think that changing the law from the word statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse is going to create an environment where people think that it's okay to have sex with minors, especially if they fast and look like women and look like adults and sound like they're encouraging you? That's where my outrage lies. Now, when it comes to people engaged, right, in this type of criminal and predatory activity, we look at the dynamics. And when I see a 20-year-old person doing that to a minor, I have not seen a declaration of relationship between the two, although there's speculation on the streets of their relationship. We have to ask, was this person also a victim of sexual predation, and they are now practicing what they once experienced? Here's another text. Good morning, Aaron. Where was the 16-year-old girl found that was reported missing a few days ago? The only statement that was made on the news was that she was found. They went to the extent to issue a Marcos alert, but won't say where they were found. Were they found with you? Were they found with you, Texter? Do you know who they were found with? Are you requesting this information so that we could publicly identify a criminal? Is that what it is? Or are we doing this so that we could vilify a minor? You tell me. And if you have not once gotten in your car and drove through Rawson Square and shouted, what happened to the Golden Jubilee expenditure report? Don't tell me you're concerned about the wastage of state resources. Because it ain't about that, because y'all really don't care about the wastage of state resources. Here's another text. If a man sleeps with a minor, they need to get cane. The text is saying, and so if a woman sleeps with a minor, they should get cane too. That's what the text was saying. These are all things we need to talk about. Because when we say that law should reflect culture, did the change in the law actually reflect the culture of the Bahamas? Do we think that young girls and boys are fast and ask to be victimized? Do we think they deserve to get what they get as punishment for being too grown? But when you need them to be an adult and mind the children, are they too grown? When you need them to get a second job and pack bags, are they too grown? When you need them to stop school and pick up a night job because the family just needs it, are they too grown? And when we go into a break, when we get back from the break, somebody tell me, I need to go check out what my MP is saying in the paper. When we get back from the break, we're going to switch topics. White questions, LaRoto on Z. Oh, ooh, that's another one. That's a different story. My MP talking. We're going to get to those stories right after the break. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Cora, I look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she say she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying?
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
I been up at Penda and I meet him in his showroom. I said, Penda, I just come out of one showroom in Portugal and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24. And what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price from $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot and all in between. You can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the Night of Love.
Also performing, Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love, Saturday, February 15th.
It's a spectacular all-white affair
at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online, bahamasetickets.com, Plantation Bar and Grill, Big Boys Cafe, and Tropics Bar and Grill.
For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there.
We got bad ways and we bad pay. I say we got bad ways and we bad pay. I don't care what nobody say. We got bad ways and we bad pay. Now to most of you, this is no news, as most of us have been abused by so-called friends and family too. You know that what I say is...
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm currently negotiating with the host of Guardian Radio AM to talk about a story in his hour. He said, we'll talk about it in your hour and maybe I'll accommodate another story in my hour for you. And I tell him I don't want him in control of the conversation about my MP. I don't sure if I like that because when it's time to talk about his MP, I just back down. I don't back down all the time.
I have a good MP.
I could be
and your MP's white.
That's his name.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adrian White.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. See, I'm a little disturbed about a couple things I read just now, but I know Adrian White I done play parking with Adrian. I done watch Adrian right run in the bush and out the bush. And Matt, dead fast.
You know what?
This boy's a beaming.
You know what?
Yeah.
What I'll do is, let's save Adrian White for my part of the conversation. Because what I want to talk about is my overarching conversation can include Adrian White.
All right. Let me just read an excerpt from the tree.
Yeah,
the article.
You do all of that if you give me Adrian White.
Mrs. White, I talking to his mother, Mrs. White. I could be here in the room at the same time. I just felt a little uneasy.
I won't talk about white.
When you said, give me the white boy, I just felt a little uneasy.
Because I asked for the white boy?
No, because I couldn't see the 3% Irish in your eyes now.
I am 3% Irish. They call me Conky Joe. I am mixed race. So I can talk about white.
Like the 60-meter hurdles and the 100-meter dash.
Yeah, I want to talk about white. Okay. Because the conversation I want to talk about is the headline for yesterday regarding the Prime Minister and the elite group of the FNM. And I want to talk about whether Adrian White is part of this elite group. So give me Adrian White to talk about him on my hour, please.
Only because I can't stop you.
Yeah, but
On Guardian Radio AM, we're going to touch on these three headlines just very briefly.
Go ahead.
White questions Laroda on ZNS's inauguration trip cause. White criticizes government's purchase of 3 BMWs for country's embassy in Washington. And Adrian White voices support for Trump.
That white boy. Always complaining.
Good thing I know him. Anyway, let's get back to the show. So the story that I will touch on briefly is funeral homes taking action over money owed by RBPF. But before we go there, I got a text. Oh, I see, Aaron. The officer was not a victim of molestation and deserves to be hung, but maybe the 20-year-old woman was a victim of her circumstance and deserves rehabilitation. Different rules for each gender. No, it's not different rules for each gender, but it is different rules in this instance. Because one person is a police officer. Yeah? One person is tasked with enforcing and upholding the law that they broke. Such a heinous law, right? And did you read the article? They worked with young people. There's a big difference between this 20-year-old woman and this police officer. There may not be a big difference between the offenses, but certainly the accused, right? The accused, even though, see, the officer admitted to the charge put before them. The officer. Now, this instance with this woman is not to be taken lightly. And why? Because who is to defend the children? And who is to defend those that can't speak for themselves? Who? So, text, I want you to know, I appreciate the sentiment of your intervention and challenge, all right? I appreciate it. Y'all don't be questioning Mr. Newry's ethnicity.
Someone questioned my ethnicity.
Yeah, I can read it.
Say,
you don't even have 0.0001 European blood in him, in you. He is 400% African. See, Texter, watch this.
Oh, go ahead.
I was trying to tell him that the 3% Irish is true.
I'm Irish.
But it's that 3% is the Tiwa, the pygmy Africans that the Europeans found in Ireland.
Irish.
So when we hear the story of St. Peter, when he was running out, you read the snakes?
Yes.
Because that was really, that's like a euphemism. They meant pygmies,
St.
right?
Patrick, yeah.
St. Patrick, right. And then when we have the leprechaun, the leprechaun was how they demonize the pygmy African. Mm-hmm. So I agree he have 3% Irish. It's all the black Irish said, though.
I am Conky Joe. I'm mixed race.
I believe you.
Okay.
Race to heaven and race to hell. It mixed me up too, Mr. Newry. It mixed me up too, but I appreciate the sentiment. Texter, you be easy. You'll be easy with Mr. Nuri. So let's get to these stories very quickly. Funeral home taking action over money owed by RBPF. Some funeral homes have stopped responding to the Royal Bahamas Police Force's request for body removal services, citing unpaid bills that have remained outstanding since May 2024. Chief Superintendent Sharia King, the police press liaison officer, acknowledged the issue yesterday and apologized for the delays. Serenity Home Funeral Director Michael Hepburn, the purported spokesperson for 9 funeral homes, usually contracted to provide body removal services, said the situation has become untenable. He claimed that he was owed almost $40,000. He said it usually takes 2 to 3 months for funeral homes to be paid. He said the current delay, while longer than usual, is part of a recurrent problem. St. Ambrose Funeral Home Director Ambrose Gibson, a former police officer, said he has continued helping to remove bodies for the police, but acknowledged the toll it has taken on his business. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe said he was unaware of delayed payments, but that businesses should suspend services if payments have not been met as expected. That's from Funeral Homes Taking Action Over Money Owed by RBPF, Nassau Tribune, 16th of January. From the Nassau Guardian, 20th of January, Monroe questions claim on what's owed to the funeral homes. Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, questioned the veracity of a funeral home director's claim that he is owed more than $40,000 by the Royal Bahamas Police Force for the collection of bodies from crime scenes. I just want to make a note, in the earlier article, the sentence read, citing unpaid bills that have remained outstanding since May 2024. We return to Monroe Question's claim on what's owed to funeral homes. Again, Monroe questioned the veracity of a funeral home director's claims that he is owed more than $40,000 by the Royal Bahamas Police Force for the collection of bodies from crime scenes. Serenity Funeral Home and Crematorium CEO Michael Hepburn since May 2024 and noted that he and other funeral homes will halt their services to the police until they are paid what they are owed. Monroe, however, said that while his ministry does not manage the RBPF's recurrent budget, the total provided by Hepburn, if accurate, suggests that his funeral home was getting far more business than others. He said a rotation system is meant to ensure that all the homes get an equal share of the RBPF's business. Hepburn noted that the fee of $550 for the removal of a body is an insult to licensed and qualified professionals who, he said, respond to calls at all hours of the night and sometimes risk their personal safety to provide the service. Now we're going to read from Funeral Directors Association President laments crime scenes policy. Nassau Guardian, 22nd of January, that's yesterday's paper. Bahamas Funeral Directors Association President Kirsch Ferguson said that the current policy of the coroner's office allowing the Royal Bahamas Police Force's control room to select which funeral home will remove bodies from crime scenes has caused delays in payments to funeral homes and also taxes the public. Why would it tax the public? I mean, the whole exercise taxes the public. Ferguson spoke out after Serenity Funeral Home and Crematorium Chief Executive Officer Michael Hepburn claimed he has not been paid since May 2024 and is owed a sum of $40,000 that has been accumulated over the past 2 years. Ferguson said, it is, and that's Kirsch Ferguson, president of the Bahamas Funeral Directors Association, quote, it is not an isolated incident, but based on the position taken by the coroner's office to engage independent removal companies to remove bodies from sudden deaths and the like, it has created a situation where the funeral home typically is no longer called in on behalf of the family to remove loved ones. The call goes into the police control room. Funeral homes that are listed on their roster are called to remove bodies on behalf of the RBPF and the Bahamas government. So what you find is that the funeral home of choice and the funeral home that is dispatched is paid up to $550 to remove these bodies. Ferguson said the policy was introduced roughly 3 years ago and is creating a problem. Ferguson said the coroner's office has made it clear that it wants to avoid any tampering of evidence at suspected murder scenes. Ferguson noted that situation has created a problem where the public purse is being taxed to remove these bodies on behalf of the coroner's office and the RBPF. So there's a double payment for the funeral home that removes the body and then the funeral home of your choice that receives the body from the hospital. But it's not a double payment from the government. The government makes one payment for the removal of the body and then the family would make a payment for the treatment and the handling of the body. My left eye just broke. And I'm not sure I could see what I just saw. But I know I don't like what I just read. There's an obvious problem. There's an obvious problem that politics caused. Why you? I'm not sure if I like the approach to the whole situation. And let me tell you primarily why. Do we have any respect for the dead in this place?
I was going to interject here and remind people that antiquities are holding dead remains.
The morgue.
Dead remains. The morgue, no. Antiquities holding the remains
of
our wax.
Yes.
In their box, in the dark, in the drawer someplace. We don't have respect for the dead.
No.
That's my point.
Yeah. If politics caused the problem, believe you me, politics will not fix it. And I don't like what I read just now. I don't like how it was composed. I don't like any of it. Please, please, could we treat this matter with a modicum of respect? It's the word deference and deference. Because we're talking about the handling of the dead and the handling of the bereaved. All right, Mr. Newry, I got 8 minutes and I got another set of stories I want to touch on quickly. So I saw this story in Tuesday's Tribune, training initiative to fight unscrupulous practices. I thought, oh, this is going to be exciting. A newly launched cadet training program aims to empower Bahamian youth and boost this nation's food security. It was disclosed yesterday. The Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources said they have teamed to introduce the Agricultural and Marine Cadets Initiative, which will provide hands-on training and educational opportunities for high school students across the Bahamas. Jomo Campbell, Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources, said it will equip young Bahamians with the knowledge and skills required to drive the agriculture and fishing industries. He added that, quote, unscrupulous and unsustainable, close quotes, practice, as well as climate change, pose a threat to the future of these sectors, and both farmers and fishermen will gain the knowledge needed to combat these issues. The program is to be rolled out in several islands across the Bahamas, including Long Island, Eleuthera, Exuma, North and South Andres, Cat Island, Grand Bahama, Abaco, and New Providence. Mr. Campbell said the training instructions and certifications are to be facilitated by BAMSI, and students will have the opportunity to participate in workshops, field trips, and internships with local farmers, fishermen, and conservation organizations. This program aims to provide our senior high school students with hands-on experience and educational opportunities that highlight the importance of sustainable practices in these sectors. Mr. Campbell said students will also develop skills such as teamwork, problem solving, and critical thinking while addressing agricultural and marine challenges. Glenys Hannah Martin, Minister of Education and Technical Vocation, said agriculture and fisheries require a number of scientific and technical skills, including science, horticulture, and animal husbandry. She highlighted that the sector has gained interest from numerous students, and the cadet program will allow them to gain the knowledge and insight needed to pursue these industries as a future career, full stop. Okay, so basically what you're doing is you take in what is supposed to be done at BAMSI and bringing it down to the high school level, except I see no reference to the existing agricultural programs that are very, very good All of them are very good. I need you to reference those programs. Because it appears as if you're creating an entirely new program. And that is problematic. I also have another concern. Y'all have plenty, youth guard and cadet this and cadet that. Y'all look like y'all starting little small armies. I would like to hear the rationale. Yes, sir.
Mind you, I don't want to critique this because I appreciate any government initiative that makes us more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's good that teenagers learn to farm and to take care of themselves. I applaud that.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud BAMSI. I assume it's a work in progress. I want to see what is that BAMSI is producing that I can celebrate with them. So I embrace this youth guard. I embrace this youth guard. I don't see the connectivity with the youth guard with BAMSI as yet, with UB as yet. Is this for a degree or just is a gardening program, which is after school curriculum program, instead of a structured step by step to a bigger platform type concept?
Right. Will the training and certifications lead to early entry in agricultural programs at UB or universities and colleges abroad?
Yes. I don't want it to be an after school program. I want the persons who are engaged in this to say, I am seeking a career in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn the best resources possible. I'm going to have access to go to early UB courses.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have access to go to work on a family island or in a farming in general.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say, well, I'm watering my potatoes and my watering my tomatoes here.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be just that. They could do that after school without all these formalities.
And then understand how some farmers may feel when they hear you talking about security, right? Like unscrupulous and unsustainable practices and security. And the farmers can't secure their crops.
And they can't secure feed.
And the RBPF does not have a unit or a program or an initiative or a policy or a hotline or a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Where maybe y'all do have a WhatsApp group. I don't know, because I don't know how y'all just get the information out. But where farmers could feel that they could rely on the Royal Bahamas Police Force to protect their economic investment.
That being said, is this program for subsistence type farming, not to be a career aspect?
Well, I think it's to be a career aspect.
Do they have the technology? Surely they're not getting water.
The water bucket?
The water bucket and watering the plants. It can't be that. They supposed to have the best technology or access to the best technology.
Let's move to this next story quickly. I got 2.5 minutes if I could beg my producer. Golden Yolk Project delayed as egg prices remain high. 22nd of January 2025. That was yesterday. This story is in the Nassau Guardian. The Golden Yolk Project has been delayed as the government moves to bring a recently acquired feed mill online that will allow for farmers to properly feed the hens that will lay the eggs for that project. Minister of Economic Affairs Michael Halkidis said recently, I know of a hen that has never stopped eating. Meanwhile, SuperValue President Deborah Simonette told Guardian Business yesterday that the food store chain has seen no indication that the high egg prices will abate anytime soon after bird flu-related chicken culls in the U.S. severely affected egg production. A dozen eggs, which could be found in local stores for $3 to $4 before the bird flu epidemic in the U.S., are now more than $8. But are they more than $8 in the U.S. or here? Simonette said, while the price of eggs has been affected by this bird flu problem, SuperValue has not yet run into a problem with egg supplies. She added that SuperValue has not heard anything on the progress of the Golden Yolk Project. Halkidis, who made his comments during an appearance on Morning Blend, recently said, when the feed mill comes online, the government expects egg production to accelerate in the country. Sir, have you told the chicks that?
Any date? Hold on, wait.
No, there's no date in the article. Did you have a meeting with the chickens to tell them you need them to pause their egg, like their life, until the mill is ready? And then Mr. Yuri asked, did you give them a timeline? Quote, my understanding is that they recently acquired a feed mill, an additional feed mill, because the existing one would not be able to support the existing farmers that it has to service in the Golden Yoke program with the additional animals that need to be fed. But here's the question. So you got an additional feed mill. Was the original feed mill working? Speak to that, sir, because some people tell me they had to buy feed from the states to maintain their egg production projects. Quote, and so that is ongoing. I understand that that is being erected as we speak, and we should see an acceleration in that program, and hopefully it is up at full speed sometime this year. So you know you in January and not December, right? Quote, but there were a few delays. It's back on track, and I think we can look forward to a successful program. Simonette said SuperValu has been hoping for the start of the Golden Yoke project, for the start of it.
Isn't Rupert Roberts like president of the Golden Yoke
yeah,
program?
But this is Simonette is the president, and Roberts is the principal.
The principal,
right?
What do you mean by principal?
In charge. That's what it means. Sorry, the music playing. It means
I understand.
Prepared to buy all of the Bahamas agriculture. They prepared to buy all the eggs Bamsi could produce for the foreseeable future. Robert said SuperValu could use 1,000 cases per week. Yeah.
Anyway.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.